Welcome back, everyone. We have a new book starting today. It's called Unbound, and it's by Anne Berg. This is a story about slavery in the United States. It is a work of historical fiction because it is based on a real group of African American slaves who faced terrible dangers in order to escape and be free. This story is written in verse. It looks like poetry, but it reads like a story. So I will do my best to do this beautiful work justice. Enjoy. This is Unbound. When Mama tells me I'm going to the big house, she makes me promise to always be good, to listen to the missus and never talk back, to lower my eyes and say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, and not to speak less spoken to first. She tells me about the new dress I'm sure to get, and sweet muffins every morning, she says, pulling the thread from Thomas's old baby gown. I wind the limp thread round a stick, slow and careful, so not to break it. I like soft clothes and sweet muffins, but not if it means leaving Mama. Since I was little, Mama's been telling me, you keep those eyes looking up. That's where the good Lord and his angels live. So how come now she's changing her mind? Promise you'll keep your eyes down, she says. I promise. Promise you'll keep your mouth closed. I promise. Promise you won't talk back. Promise you'll keep your thoughts and questions about. And suddenly, like a clap of thunder into a sweet blue sky, all my promising starts feeling like a fistful of thorns is scratching my brain. I promise, and then crack. I drop to the dirt floor and crunch into a ball. I won't go, I say. I want to stay with you. Aunt Sarah stands in the cabin doorway. Willie's playing with the hem of her dress, and she's holding Thomas in her arms. Mama shoos him away and kneels down. She tugs me apart and takes me into her arms. I pull away. I won't go, I cry. I won't leave Uncle Jim and his night stories or the sound of his soft singing when he tends our moonlight garden. I won't go. I kick. I won't leave little Thomas and Willie. Aunt Sarah's old. She can sing to him when Mama works in the fields, but who'll stand over him waving a dried leaf to give him a breeze when they nap? Who'll play with them and chase them and put them in a lump of giggles when they wake? I won't go. I won't go. I pound and thrash, scream and stomp. I won't go. I want to stay with you. Mama wraps her arms tight round mine. My sweet baby child, she whispers. My sweet baby child. The wetness on her face mingles with my tears and tastes like blood. Had soft brown eyes like Mama's, and skin what's dark and smooth like hers, instead of light blue eyes and pale skin. Well, Grace, you have my curls, Mama always says, kissing my hair. My baby's beautiful just the way she is. Mama tries to be cheery, even when she's tired. Aunt Sarah says that's 'cause the good Lord put Mama on this earth to remind folks there's still goodness in the world. I agree, and Uncle Jim does too. Uncle Jim is Thomas and Willie's daddy. I don't have a daddy. Of course, Aunt Sarah says everybody's got a daddy. I just never laid eyes on mine. I never heard him sing or felt him lifting me to the moon and laughing like Uncle Jim does with Willie and Thomas. It's my Aunt Sarah what's been helping Mama take care of me since I was a baby. She's not really my aunt, but Mama says The folks what love you, what hold you and soothe you, what worry about you, and make sure you's clothed and fed, Mama says, these folks is your family. She says Uncle Jim's my daddy in all the ways that count. I only call him Uncle Jim because that's what I called him before he jumped the broom and married my mama. Mama says we got 2 days before I leave for the big house. Says it's no use stamping our feet or crying. Says there's things we can change and things we can't. You's only going up the hill, she says, smiling. But her voice quivers, and a sorrowing tear clings to her bottom lash. Up the hill doesn't seem far, but Master Allen lives up the hill. And if you cross Master Allen, he might send you away, like he sent away Uncle John. Uncle John was an old man what worked in the fields. Iron chains stretched across his feet, so he couldn't hardly lift his legs. Mama told me Uncle John got caught running one too many times. Master Allen was tired of chasing him, so during the day, he locked Uncle John's ankles in iron circles, and when nighttime came, he chained Uncle John to his bed. Only you can't weed tobacco fields in iron chains. So finally, Master Allen brought Uncle John to the auction block. Uncle Jim says the auction block's a putrid place where folks is pulled and poked, prodded and paraded, just like they's a prize heifer. You hear auction and you run, he says. Auction's nothing but weeping mamas, whimpering children, and the callous voice what calls out numbers and makes commands. Lift that shirt, roll those pants. There's some words what makes my bones shiver, and auction's one of them. How am I gonna live in the master's house? What if I cross him and he sends me to the auction block? Aunt Sarah must be worrying about this too, because the next morning when the horn sounds and Mama and Uncle Jim leave for the fields, she tells me I got some more listening to do before I start my chores. Aunt Sarah's shriveled and skinny as a dried tobacco leaf, but her voice snaps like fresh-cut pine knots, what's throwed in the fire. Your mama don't want to scare you, she says, but don't be thinking times is soft in the big house. Don't be imagining fancy clothes and sweet muffins. Aunt Sarah's eyes flash. Master Allen be worrying about his tobacco, but the missus'll be watching you, just watching and waiting for you to look cross-eyed or make a mistake. Aunt Sarah lowers her voice, and the flint in her eyes fades into thin, crusty slits. Don't know why, but the missus is hateful as a toad. Nobody wants to scare you, but you need to keep the promises you made to your mama. Aunt Sarah don't usually talk so much, lest she's telling me I don't do enough to help mama. So I know she means what she says. I'll keep my promises, I say. Aunt Sarah smiles, sadly, brushing her rough, gnarly fingers against my face. I wish I could run away. Willie wakes up, starts poking Thomas, and before long, they's chasing, crawling, and climbing like baby squirrels. While Aunt Sarah gives the boys breakfast, a scantling of cornmeal and molasses, I finish rolling the beds and sweeping out the spiders and chinch bugs what got lost looking for a place to stay. Me and Willie go outside, and I set him looking for leafhoppers while I weed the garden. Aunt Sarah sits on her chair, mending whatever her knotty fingers can still mend. Thomas stays with her. This little one needs peace, she says. Sometimes our Willie's just too wild. The midday horn sounds. I'm happy folks in the field is finally stopping to eat, but time's passing too quick. My mind's going to break trying to figure a way to stay with Mama. When the garden's nothing but hills and sprouts and not a single weed, Willie climbs on my back, like always. We run and bounce till there's no more breath left inside me. Willie's still squealing, "More, more!" But I put him down and he starts pulling his ear and whining, so I know it's nap time. Aunt Sarah gives the boys a bit more cornmeal, and this time we have some too. I put the boys to rest on their lumpy rags, and Thomas falls right asleep. But even with my best fanning and sweetest singing, it takes a long while for Willie to settle. By the time he does, Aunt Sarah's got her eyes closed too. I rinse our bowls in the wash bucket and make some mud to patch the holes in the wall, what make ghosty sounds when we's trying to sleep. When I finish piling wood for the night's cooking fire, the boys wake. We go outside to play a hiding game, except Willie don't know how to hide, and Thomas cries when I disappear behind the cabin. I take him in my arms, and we sit on the ground, rocking. Willie rests his head on my back, and a sadness, what's heavier than a bucket of rainwater, settles inside me. Who is going to chase away the ghosty winds what blow through cracked walls? Who is going to give horsey rides and play our hiding games? Aunt Sarah calls to us. We cook our corn cakes in the fire, brush off the ashes, and have our supper. My heart feels like it's going to break in two. Mama and Uncle Jim don't come back to the cabin till after dark. The boys is sleeping again, but me and Aunt Sarah been waiting. Aunt Sarah don't say nothing more about the big house or the missus, but what she don't say hangs heavy between us. Mama takes me in her arms, and before she can say anything, I start crying out the tears what's been building inside me. Why can't I stay with you forever? I want to stay with you forever. Mama wraps her skinny arms round me and rocks back and forth on the dirt floor of our cabin. My sweet baby child, she says, our forever won't start till we get ourselves to heaven. I wonder why the good Lord made heaven so far away. The next day, when the morning horn sounds, I overhear Mama tell Uncle Jim it's my light skin what's got me called to the big house. All day, while I weed the garden and patch the walls, while I chase the boys and pile the wood, Mama's words circle in my brain. By the time I brush the ashes off our corn cakes, I got a plan. I need some pondering time, I tell Aunt Sarah when the boys fall asleep for the night. Grace, stay out of trouble, Aunt Sarah warns. Your mama and Uncle Jim will be home soon. I promise, I say, thinking how happy Mama will be when she sees me. In the light of the moon, I run all the way to the swamp where old George Cooper lives. Old George Cooper used to be a slave what worked in the fields picking cotton. But one rainy night, he ran away. He never got caught. And now he lives in the swamp with gators, snakes, and soul-stealing witches. Sometimes, late at night, old George Cooper comes visiting. Uncle Jim gives him taters or squash what's growing in our garden. Old George Cooper's got gray tears stuck in the corner of his eyes and silver whiskers blooming through the ripple marks what cross his face. I used to be scared of old George Cooper, his stories, his raspy voice, his scratches. The ripple marks scared me most, but Mama told me they's just scars. Mama says scars is nothing more than a body's memory. Someday, Mama says, the good Lord himself will wash them away. Mama says the man what gave them, what slashed and whipped, what burned and branded, one day that man's going to tremble. She smiles. On that day, we'll see how beautiful old George Cooper was before meanness got planted in the world. Now, I don't care nothing about the stories old George Cooper tells. I don't care about gators, what's bigger and bumpier and sweet gum bark. I don't care about the witch, what lives in the swamp, what likes to gobble children, especially slave children. I smear mud deep into the skin of my face, arms, and legs. My eyes sting, but finally, I'm brown. Beautiful brown. Brown like my mama and my brothers. Brown like Uncle Jim and Aunt Sarah. Brown like our great big family, what works in the fields. When Mama sees me, she drags me to the wash barn and dumps water on my head. All my beautiful brown disappears in skinny little rivers that look like tears. Mama scrubs till my skin's pale as a brown bat's belly. Why'd the good Lord make my skin so light? I cry. Grace, Mama says, this here's the skin the good Lord gave you. You's insulting the good Lord to try and change it. I'm only 9 years old, but I'm old enough to wonder why the good Lord paints children different colors from their mama, making them so they look stolen, making them feel ashamed of their own skin. Dirt runs into my eye, and I holler. Mama hushes me. Grace, try to understand. Master Allen says he owns us. We got to do what he want, or somebody'll get a whipping, maybe even worse. Don't seem fair, I say. Mama's voice grows soft, like when she's telling her nighttime stories about resting in the arms of angels. The good Lord sure weeping at the way his children is being treated, she says. But for now, there's nothing we can do. My rightness bubbles inside me. Don't the good Lord make day and night? I ask. Don't the good Lord make the giant trees round the big house? Don't the good Lord make thunder so loud it shakes the earth? I forget about all the pain in my eye. Don't the good Lord have more power than Master Allen? Mama spins me round so fast I nearly fall in the mud. You keep them thoughts bound up tight inside you, she says, or you'll be sent away, far away, farther away in the big house. I promise, I say, feeling prickles scratch my throat. That night, Mama makes me sit by my rag bed and repeat all my promises. You have to keep 'em, she says, 'cause the good Lord and his angels is watching. If you break a promise, they'll know you can't be trusted. Uncle Jim's working outside, and I hear his deep voice singing soft to the heavens. Mama tells Thomas and Willie I'm going to the big house early, early in the morning, before anyone wakes. Says folks in the big house need someone strong and brave and smart. Willie toddles over to me, even though he's too young to understand what Mama said. Thomas crawls after him. I hug 'em both at the same time, lifting him a little off the ground and kissing they curls like I sometimes do, making soft, gibbery sounds just to hear 'em laugh. Only this time, all my silly snuffles get stuck inside my throat. Aunt Sarah puts down her mending and leads the boys to their sleeping corner. You's not going far, Grace, she whispers to me. Be brave. Her eyes squint out a warning. Remember what I said. Mama tears a narrow strip of cloth from the hem of her dress and kneels beside me. She ties the frayed ribbon round my bare ankle. May the good Lord and his angels keep watch over my baby, she says. Then she looks at me with watery eyes. My sweet Grace, she says. You's tied to my heart forever. I throw my arms round her and make myself a promise to never take off her ribbon and to keep my mouth shut.